to order of the State Electronic Real Estate Reporting Commission. Today is the 19th of November. And we have an agenda. Everybody got a copy of the agenda. Any additions that people would like to add or corrections on the agenda? If not, we'll proceed with the agenda as written. Next item would be the approval of the minutes. And my apologies for not getting them out a little bit sooner to you. We'll try and do better next month so that you don't get them the day of the meeting. I'll give you a few minutes yet to look through them.
The only question, the only question I had was, Teresa, are you part of the ECRB group that we had? Because it was Bill, myself, Kay. I don't remember if you volunteered, but in the notes it's here that your name is here. So I think that was the only.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. That was the only correction or change I had.
Okay.
We'd welcome you if you want to be part of it.
We're available. Thank you.
Any other corrections on the minutes? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the corrected minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the corrected minutes. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. Let's go on to our next item, which are subcommittee reports. Jeff, any update on the trusted submitter?
You know, I don't know if Teresa wants to talk about some of the ECRB things today, but I'll let her discuss that. E-recording, why? So we're looking to do our first e-recording with ECRB in Dakota by no later than February is what we talked to Pat Brown in Dakota. So we're going to attempt to get that started and give that a try.
That's with a whole package then?
The whole
the
package.
Electronic ECRB,
yep.
The mortgage, the whole nine yards.
They're just working with Fiddler right now to get the software ready. I know Pat and I have talked a little bit, and she's got some things. So conservatively, we'll say February, probably likely in January. That we'd get that going.
Okay.
The other thing is, and this also I think has a little bit to do with the ECRB and some of the things that we talked about training wise and within our group, but we've got MLTA spring seminar that's coming up, and I don't think we've verified the dates, either April 12th or 19th. It's between those two dates. And Mike spoke at that last time. It's up in St. Cloud, but this is another opportunity to train the submitters on ECRB and e-recording and that type of thing. So it is a possible topic for the spring seminar. St. Cloud at the Holiday Inn. Mm-hmm. So we have that on our list as well.
I bet we could twist the arm of some Dakota County people to be there if that was any interest to the group. And state people and whoever else?
I think especially as like your county and some other counties that are rolling out for ECRV, I think it'd be probably a good time. And I know it's...
Jennifer just brought up a good point. It might be another opportunity to present eWell to electronic well certificate.
Yeah. Did they present at that meeting as well when you were there last year?
I can't remember if they did or not.
I don't
think so.
No.
I don't remember that they did.
They presented at a number of the prep meetings.
The prep meetings.
I don't think they did at that one.
No.
I think there should be a place on the table for them there.
Yeah. And they've done a great job at getting to a lot of prep meetings throughout the state, and done a very good job on education that way.
Yep. Anything else, Joe?
Nothing for me. I don't know if this is the appropriate time for...
Do you want to take up the ECRB with Teresa right now, as long as we've got it, and skip to that item on the agenda? Or?
Sure. As long as, you know, she can probably bring you up to date.
Do you want to update us, Teresa?
I can definitely do that. As of yesterday, we have accepted... Well, 20 ECRBs have been submitted to the state system. We have received 12 of those in Dakota County with the deed. We've been open for live submissions since November 2nd. So it's been a bit of a slow kickoff. I have touched base with Burnett as well as DTA, and Burnett especially, as they're trying to roll out the new requirements for their closers to collect this data. It's just been a little slow transition because some of those closings had already been prepared ahead. So it'll take a little bit to transition to the new. So we expect that to ramp up, but it's going. We have had very few glitches. We had one issue with the server down yesterday. It was down for a matter of minutes, back up and back in business. So we've had very few issues come up with going live.
The state server?
Correct. This is all housed on state systems. So. Yep. And they were very responsive to get that back up for Burnett when they were submitting. They didn't even have to resubmit anything else. They brought the server back up. She was able to click the submit button and not have to redo anything. So that was very responsive. I was happy to see that. And supporting the system from the state side. We are meeting internally next week to talk about expanding the submissions to all submitters in December. And December is only a week and a half away, so we're gonna try to get some things together. Get in touch with Richard about kind of contacting OTA through maybe Maxine, maybe volunteer. That might be a good avenue. So we'll be communicating what that date is for full submission to Dakota County from all submitter companies. And also, I believe Jason Parker with Department of Revenue, as well as some Dakota staff, are going to be presenting at the next prep meeting in December. That's December 10th. And so Jason will be giving a demonstration of ECRV, and we'll be answering any questions and talking about how the go live is with Dakota.
Okay. At that time. Are you planning to be there for that too, Teresa?
I can't be there.
Can't be. Okay. Janelle or Jeff, any other on the submitter side? Anything with your experience so far?
No, I talked to Lori this morning, so I think it was to Teresa, and she just really shared what you just said. So just the one glitch. And you're right, a lot of the closings that have come up, the documents predated that time. So that should increase pre-submit.
Is there any trepidation about moving ahead to opening it up in December at this point?
We did discuss some of the considerations. Now, ECRV is still a work in progress, as the submitter side has been very stable and very little change in the program. Where the changes are occurring are on the county edit side, where we're processing for state data, and also the state side. So there's a lot of development underway. What we are going to probably do, these have been accepted into the county, and we are, you know, we've taken responsibility for them to get them reported eventually to the state. But we don't have a huge time consideration because of our racial study time frame. So they have been accepted with the deed in a timely way. And so we have some flexibility with how quickly we get those implemented. So I only say that because there is a new release coming out shortly after Thanksgiving And we want our data to be stable, and there's going to be some data conversion to this new version. So anytime you have a software implementation that you update, there's some data conversion that might need to happen. So we are kind of pacing ourselves. You know, once we get it submitted to the county and everything's valid, then we do have some flexibility with the time. But we want to make sure that deed is recorded timely and we get that, you know, moved through. So that's not going to affect anything as far as the deed goes. But we are taking it slow as far as county processing side, and the state is in cooperation with that process because, again, it is a work in progress, reporting the results of those sales back to the state system. So there is no trepidation from the submitter side. The data has been very stable, very good, and we've taken responsibility for it. So we have secured the data.
How has the inputting from the county side into the state system, once you've received it, gone? Are you still willing to continue doing that? Your assessor colleagues aren't ready to go harry-carry yet?
And that's kind of what I'm referring to as far as we're pacing ourselves. We are not. We know there's a new release coming, so we haven't been putting a lot of data in that yet.
Okay.
So we're going back with the expectation that we have secured the data, and we'll be able to populate our county side when another release is
okay.
Rolled out, and that's going to be shortly after Thanksgiving. So we're just holding tight on those 12 CREs we have in our system right now, and we'll get those populated, referring to what you're talking about.
Okay.
You know, reporting back to the state.
You'll be able to have the web service to then populate back into your system?
We are not going to be implementing a web service until we've implemented our new tax and account
system. That's right. Yes, Janelle.
What, and maybe the one thing that I could add, Mike, one thing that we did do, and I don't know, Jeff, if you found a need for this or not, but we did create an internal form that we're actually printing for our closers when they do the pre-taking so that they can answer the questions and then fill it in after the fact. So, and that's been working fine, maybe a little cumbersome, but as we go through the training process, but that's one way that we found that the testers that we have are a little more comfortable with it because they've got it right there when they've got the customer in front of them.
Right, it's the same issue because some of the questions we can't answer early
exactly.
Or completed, and we have to have the closing people right there, or like you say, even if we have just the answers to the extra few questions. Is helpful, but yeah, essentially we're just having them fill it out under the old CRV and re-entering it back in, but same difference.
Yeah, same thing. We just have one that prints off, so, and we can certainly share that if it's interesting.
And I just gave you an update on Hennepin. Our team in Hennepin has met and discussed how to do a pilot test, at least, before we get even to the next stage. The state has, however, been somehow for the last month tied up a lot with Dakota County, and they've really been unavailable for doing anything more with us at this point. But we hope to be able to start doing our internal testing because we do now have something beyond Internet Explorer 6, so that we will be able to do this. And maybe the state did us a favor in Hennepin because we've kind of shaken some trees and we're going to have our technology upgraded because it was going to need to be happening sooner or later this coming year anyway. So anyway, maybe I'll say thank you to the state rather than say other things that I've sometimes said. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at with Hennepin right now in terms of the dealing with the state. They've indicated that once they get past the rollout of all of the submitters, they said, at least that's what Jason Parker has told us, that they will have a little more time to devote to us. But he did tell us that they're working very hard on the back end piece, which I don't think any of us fully understood really hadn't been done yet. And that's the piece that the assessors are most concerned about because it relates to what they have to submit to the state, what the state expects them to be submitting, and how those systems are going to talk to one another that the assessors use, which doesn't have anything too much to do with us as recording. But, you know, it's all tied together, and the more I learn about all this business, the more I find that none of us are an island here. We're all connected one way or another. So it's good that we talk to one another. Anyway, that's the update there. Any other questions on PCRV or the Trusted Submitter Committee Report. Phil?
Yeah, just a piece of information. Jason Parker has a scheduled a meeting with Michelle Ash
and
Sherburne County, and I believe that is set for the first part of December. I don't remember the exact date.
Super.
But, you know, they'll be in attendance at that, so I think that's the next one that's teed up after you're finished, right? I think that's correct, isn't it?
I think that's what Jason told me, that he was going to be working with Sherburne also, so.
And yes. Certainly we will make every effort possible to
yep.
all rolling a little faster here.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you.
Well, I guess it kind of begs the one other question then is, since we initially were going to try and push things out quickly with the ECRB, then we said, no, we should hold back and just look at the e-recording counties and see if the assessors in those counties would be willing to kind of do some of this double duty. Do we even know... At this point, do we have a scope of what those assessors would need to do in those counties to even present it that way? So if we went to Lyon County and said, here's to their assessor and said, this is what you would need to do, do we have, I mean, are we that far along on that side to say, this is what you'd need to do if you were willing to do an e-recording?
Because... If I could, some
yes.
of the functionality is still in the works. I do think that once we have got the full functionality in the county, from the county's perspective, to be able to document what that is, mm-hmm. then communication can start on that. There's definitely avenues to do that and communicate with the assessors and demonstrate. I know there's a lot of good ideas flying around. Last time we met about using videos or webinars and... The assessor's organization is currently working to get that functionality, that type of technology available to them so that we can do some of that. So I there's been no discussion on dates or time frames, but it's been definitely discussed.
Okay. So, I mean, as far as our other group, we should probably kind of, at this point, I don't think we can move until some of that has happened.
Well, a couple of meetings back, we did talk about the option of so completing the CRB form and with a typewriter. I was thinking, you know, we talked about typewriter and CRBs. And then scanning those in to accompany the documents. Because with that model, of course, that would open up a lot of counties quickly, and then they would just print those out in the process in the old fashioned way until the system can finally catch up with going county by county. Are there any updates there?
Well, that's what we did. We proposed that back, and that is the issue. Is the assessor systems are different in different counties, and the way the new ECRB is slightly different than the old. So that's the issue of trying to accommodate that, and then it would really be a double entry by the assessors into both systems. So because of Social Security number and that type of thing. So the reality is we'd have to go back to the assessors that have e-recording in their county and say, would you be willing to do this double entry for the e-recordings that came in? But until we understand exactly what they need to do as a double entry, we can't even, in my mind, I don't know if we can go and ask them to do it and say, well, it could be this wide open piece that you need to do because the back end is not completed.
The other piece, Alan, that we discussed with the department, and I think we talked about this last month, is that we also are in the process, and Larry Deline and I are working on this, and we're going to give Jason Parker a rough idea of how many counties, A, are electronic recording and are willing to do what Jeff was talking about to make it possible for us to then identify our backup strategy, which was to take those counties that are electronically recording and make ECRB available electronically for electronic recorded packages now, sooner, and have those to be the top priority rollouts. And Jason said they would be willing to consider that at the state. We just need to give them how many, they want to know how many documents, and of course, how do you predict how many documents in this marketplace? I can't predict how many are going to come in, let alone how many are going to be electronic and that sort of thing. I mean, you know, it's really kind of a shot in the dark and that sort of thing. But we will be giving them all the counties that are willing to do it, and we will be telling them that that's our backup strategy, is to allow a rollout of ECRB for electronic packages going into those counties. And that's kind of what we discussed as the backup then with the Department of Revenue. The other thing that's come up that the Revenue Department is very concerned about, and Teresa, you can probably chime in on this, they're very concerned if we do a statewide rollout all at once, which we talked about as another workaround to accommodate, that the whole focus and attention on ECRB is going to get to be on the back-end systems of the county assessors, because they're not prepared for dealing with this all of a sudden on their back end, and they're going to have all of a sudden an avalanche of things coming in, and they're not quite prepared for that. So rather than focus on the submitter side of getting them in and getting them recorded, they're going to be focusing all their attention on the assessor system on the back end. Mainly what Teresa and company are going through right now in Dakota, trying to finalize, and hopefully when they've got it more down, at least Jason told me that by the first of the year they hope to have that in a situation that was much better, and that then maybe other assessors around the state could weigh in and say, yes, we're willing to do that. And then if we identify the electronic recording counties with those assessors, then maybe we can put those on the head of the pack to be able to start electronic recording packages, but only for CRVs with deeds that are coming in electronically.
Right. Let me just make sure that I understood by way of one point. So I understand we don't want to create duplicate if they're doing the ECRB system. And I respect the Department of Revenue, regardless of our priorities and the committee's priorities, is going to take their pace. What we talked about, though, a couple meetings back, is so you have the CRB form and it's a triplicate. It's typed out. And then the submitter would separate the pages and scan them in with the deed. So when it hits the county recorder's office, they would print it out. And then they would have, just like they do right now in the triplicate, all of the pages completed. The printouts would then follow the very same process. There would be no redundancy. The very same process that they do right now if they're mailed in. But that would enable electronic recording for submitters that want to get the deeds processed with it. That was referenced, and it was not Jason, but it was his supervisor, another person. I can't remember his name. I'll tell him yet.
Gordon Faulkner.
Gordon. It was Gordon that we talked about right at the very end. He said, we would consider that, and I haven't heard anything since. So that's the reason that the other reason I wanted to put it on the table, because for some of the smaller counties that may be now 2019, 2020, before the ECRB would finally need to, that would enable some of the submitters to, although still a typewriter workaround, would still be able to process the deeds.
Mike, you can add as well. I thought that the main issue there was because of the Social Security number, and that this would come over as one image, that ensuring that the two images were separated, so it would really come over as the image with the deed, right? And
Images,
but separating those two was one of the big issues, because it's not just paper separating, it's electronically making sure that image stayed separate and didn't find its way into the recorded documents image. So I think that was the first and foremost, I would say, issue that people had around that. And that's why the other workaround, where the Social Security number stayed in the ECRB system and would never be transported, that was kind of the preferable way, and that's what the Department of Revenue preferred as well. And maybe to really even add on about the duplicate issues, as I learned more through Teresa and other folks as well, when they send their data into the state, they send it in an essentially Excel spreadsheet today, right? Through their current system, if they need to set, when they do this duplicate effort, they still have to notify the state that this information is now sitting in their system. So the state needs to say, yes, I'll marry up this information with what's in our server and put those two things together. So there is some manual work, and I think that's why the Department of Revenue was nervous about having a whole bunch of that work to do at that time. So that's, you know, I don't know if that answers all your questions.
No, I appreciate the clarification. Yeah. I just want to make sure that this committee understands right now, with the technology that's already there, no modifications. You would scan in the deed, that would be its own document. Mm-hmm. You'd then scan in the helper document or the CRV, because it's really images of the type document. That would be a second, but they're late. So all of that's already done. They could even have a third document, which would be the Social Security document, that would also be separate. I would just love the committee, because the purpose of this committee is to enable electronic recording, to know that that's available right now. And submitters of Minnesota are constantly telling us, win, why? And that's something that's out there. So I just wanted to put that back on the table.
Right. And I don't think, and as a matter of fact, when we talked to Jason after that, I didn't think he was in favor of that at all.
They reconsidered that whole issue. And the bottom line is that if you're going to submit a current CRV paper form, they want the paper form original. They don't want a scanned copy of it. And their issue and their paranoia centers around the Social Security number. And they've been running into problems because there have been some submitters that don't use the state form, and the Social Security number is on it. And Social Security numbers have gotten mixed into county things because they didn't cross it out. And, you know, they submitted a copy of their form, and their form has the Social Security number on the bottom. But then they made copies, and somebody at the county level didn't cut it off. And the state has basically decided that's really why we're going to the CRB in their eyes, is to deal with the security of the Social Security number, and they want submitters to put it into their system so that counties never have access to it.
Right, and that's not up for discussion. I understand and respect, in spite of it being painfully slow, that they're going to take their own pace. But what I'm saying is that they're documents right now. And they could even use the form, and it'll be a numbered form. I would love to at least have the opportunity to present if Jason would return phone calls or Gordon or anybody, to even show the technology that's there right now. Once again, we have multiple submitters in the state. We have lots of national submitters that don't understand why they're not at least the discussions on the table. So I don't mean to be adversarial as much as I. The technology is there right now, today. No cost, no money. Let's do it.
I don't think you have to convince anybody here of that.
Yeah.
Well, I have to have your support, though, and your help, the committee's help.
What Revenue would prefer to see right now is to have the submitters submit the paper form, not scan it in, and send that in. And if the county's willing to match that up with the electronic submission package,
Yeah. They're
okay with that. Now, most counties are a little jaundiced about that because they're concerned about how we're going to match these things up together. And that's the concern that the counties have got when they don't come in together.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to reject them and say, well, you didn't submit the ECRB, and, you know, we can't find it, and then where is it, and how are we tracking that? That's the issue. But that was the state's comeback to my discussions with them. Now, do we want to go ahead and push the issue of more about the scanning? I'd rather push the issue on the electronic recording counties, and the issue that they then have access to electronic CRVs from submitters on electronic packages that come in. It seems to me we get to the same point, but we do it the way they say they're willing to do it. And then we open it up to all the national submitters that still want to do it, at least in those counties that are capable of doing it at this point in time. That's kind of the conclusion that I've come to in my own thinking of what makes the most sense. Rather than try to create another process that would, you know, forestall getting to the trough where we want to end up getting.
If I were a foolish county, and you'll know I am, I'm from a foolish county, because of the legislative...
No, you're a smart county.
And legislative meeting tomorrow, you'll find that out. But if I said, I don't care what my format, it doesn't matter what format that deed comes into my office, because it goes into my system as an e-record document anyway right now. And if I were willing, as the Foolish County, to say, if I can have a company, any company, send me that ECRV in paper, I will match that up as just extra work, because it's really not that much extra work. Can I do that? Could I then submit a package? Could I take in a package if I were to get that paper from the submitter, the paper CRV?
I don't see any problem with that. You're taking it in just like you would in the paper world.
And so that would be allowable.
That's okay. They don't want it scanned. They want the paper.
As long as you're bringing in their original paper.
Okay.
Yep. So if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to do that piece of it, yes.
I can do that then.
Well, at some point, I would love to show the technology that's already there to alleviate all of their concerns. Because they want to engage in the conversation, they don't even know what's possible. And what hundreds of other counties and many, many, many other states are already doing. So that's what I'd love to have.
And I apologize if this has been talked about before. I've not been consistently attending meetings. With this question of the counties and access to Social Security numbers, what kind of a tweak would it take to the wrapping data to the image to include the Social Security numbers only in that wrapping data and still have the scanned images of the CRV, just not the Social Security number blanks filled out? Has that been discussed or explored? Which would then get us to an opportunity for those counties who would be willing to take those images and print them out and yet still not have the exposure and the privacy issue of the Social Security numbers out there.
All I know is right now we don't have it allowed for in our standards, putting a Social Security number in, but I mean it could be if we stuck it in some other field. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't go into some other place, but I know there isn't a set field for Social Security number.
I'm
just thinking what they'd have would have to happen is it get printed out, and then somebody at the county would have to write it in off the data.
But they get it on the CRV sheets that are sent on with the recording package anyway. So this county has access to the Social Security numbers as the form currently exists.
So they have. So it's. I want to make sure I'm following the logic. So they would send it, scan it, send it, but the scanned copy would not have the Social Security number, but the data would have it in the.
That's what I'm thinking, that the Social Security number or blanks would be left blank.
It gets reprinted at the county. The county person would have to look at the data, write the Social Security number in, and then it could go the rest of the way.
I don't know if that would increase privacy issues or if it would actually resolve some of those issues, but you know, one way or another, the county is getting the original CRV, and that at least one of those sheets has the Social Security numbers on there.
Yeah, but I think you're opening the door for a transpose, you know, some other issues. I mean, human frailties. Somebody has to write down the Social Security
number. I tell you, I from a county perspective, do not want data with Social Security number coming in to an electronic database in a county that ever comes through my door. I don't want that. I want you to send it to the state that has a need for it. We don't have a need for it. If it comes into my shop sooner or later, somehow, exactly what you know Chris is saying, it's going to get mixed up with something else. And I have a concern about that. I'm not unwilling to discuss it with the state, but I don't know that that gets us any closer to where we want to be if we can get approval to use ECRV in all the counties that are willing to electronically record packages. And if they're willing to do that, it seems to me we've got what we want, at least in those counties that are able and willing to do that. And I think that's the strategy that we'd be better to continue to push on, because they seem to be willing to do that. Anything else we're going to do with them, there's going to be more fights and there's going to be more costs behind the scenes with us and more issues with submitters having to have a dual-track approach for something that's going to change in the next year or so anyway. And that's just where I'm coming from, but I'm open to reconsidering because I've been known to be wrong in the past. Yeah. Janelle, then Bill.
How many counties do you think that is right now?
I'm guessing that it's probably in the 20s somewhere. There are about 41, is it, that have submitted and have been approved to do it, but I think you'll find when we get through the survey, it's probably only going to be somewhere in the mid-20s.
And some of those are only doing Model 3, not Model 2. Like myself, I'm still only on Model 3.
Oh, okay. I just asked how many counties that actually works right now.
Yeah. Bill, you had...
Yeah, I guess, you know, if it seems that the tack is to try to not to try to find an alternative, if that's what, you know, the preference of this committee is, then it seems to me that what we need to try to influence the Department of Revenue to do, is to move more quickly once they get past, you know, maybe Dakota is sufficient or whatever, or Hennepin, and disconnect, if possible, the development, this is new news, I think, at this meeting, the development of the backside of their system from the process of e-recording documents coming in. So what I'm afraid of is that back-end development that has to go on is going to continue to hinder the processing of e-recordings in. And so it seems to me like if we run up against a brick wall in trying to develop some alternative that would speed things up, let us change our focus then to expedite that front end and not get it bound up with their rear end development.
Explain it exactly right.
You know, I might get myself in deeper again. But you know, I'm saying, like, let's see if we can
see your next book coming, Bill.
Yeah, I know. let's see if we can expedite this front end process that is now has been proven to work in Dakota County, and not get it hung up on who knows how much longer development on the backside is. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that except to continue to keep putting pressure on. I mean, this committee's job is to get e-reporting done in the state of Minnesota. And you know, and so we ought to be focused on that. If assessors and auditors also want to put pressure on them to find ways to speed up their process, that's fine, but we need to get this thing moving with e-recording.
Well, if I can explain the way I kind of see things now more clearly, the ECRB document really isn't a recorder's document. It has nothing to do with recording, in all honesty. The two things that it does is it gives the auditor information in which he can change his auditor tax role, and you know the value that it was placed on that for collecting those deed taxes, and the assessor information that they need to have in order to do their assessment, and the state, the same information and all that. They're the users of that document, not the Public Recording Information Office. So what I'm seeing that makes the most sense is just what Bill's talking about. If we hone in on their solution, which is the electronic CRB, we want to be able to get it so submitters can submit it with anybody who wants to do an electronic recording package anywhere in the state where they're willing to accept it. That seems to me to get past the hurdle and then let the counties deal with that back-end issue in their own county on are they going to do double keying into their database for their CAMA, their assessment system, or how are we going to get it into the tax roll, and how are we going to collect those deed taxes and that sort of thing. And then each county can deal with that themselves, but we've gotten past that hurdle for the submitter now to be able to use the state's form, which does get the Social Security number out from any of our worries for the future. They've got it sitting in their database, and we can then record the documents electronically. That, to me, seemed to make the most sense as a strategy to get where we want to go. I think if we can show that it's happening well in Dakota to kick off, they're going to be much more willing to take a look at maybe another 15 or 20 counties can start doing electronic recording packages and opening up the CRV to submitters that are doing electronic recording in any of those. And that will also help ease, I think, the transition for some assessors and some auditors in dealing with it on a more gradual basis than if we'd gotten our first suggestion to them, which was to open it up to everybody all at once, which would have inundated, I think, everybody, and we probably would have buried poor Ryan over here and his colleagues and poor Teresa and her colleagues, and they would never have talked to any of us again. Now, that's kind of what I've kind of come to from a business perspective and an internal working perspective that gets us at what I think our goal is to promote this electronic recording.
And I'm not asking to not report, not have them go with their effort. We love electronic. That's what we're about. But let me give you some tangible Minnesota examples. So Polk County goes live with Simplifile. After they've accepted some others, we have 40 people come and are interested in recording. Great, what can we do? Guess what the number one question is? When can we do deeds? Because they go, of course, about the Department of Revenue. And a number of other counties that are out in that pocket of the state. And we'll go into, but let me just talk about Polk County. Polk County right now isn't even on the ECRV radar screen. So the fact that it's taken 18 months plus after originally talked about with Dakota, I don't know how long it's going to take ahead of them. You're now looking at years and years, honestly, years and years, before the ECRV is going to be open in Polk County. That's years and years of not recording electronically. So that's my plea in returning to the table is not asking them to change the focus of the Department of Revenue, because we know that's a danger, but to allow or to open up the discussions of, you're still going to get the very same copy, it's still going to be on the form, it's still going to have the number of the form, but it can enable electronic recording for counties like Polk or Douglas or any of the Grand or any of the other Lockefeller that are out in that pocket of the state that does not create any extra work. There's no extra work. They scan in the form instead of mailing in the form, but it enables electronic recording that day. So that's the plea with the Minnesota example of, I'm not wanting to muddy the waters without things you're going to the Department of Revenue. But at the same time, I think there's other things that can be done today to enable electronic recording.
But I think if we follow along this trail that Mike had suggested, I do think that shortens it. It's not going to happen next month, but I do think it does shorten it from the years and years out, as long as, I don't know if you said Polk or Pope, but
Polk.
But as long as Pope is willing, his auditor assessor is willing to do this work, they could do this in, I would say, probably mid to late next year would probably be about the latest that they could be doing this type of thing. And Jason is going to talk to us, and I guess I don't disagree. Any other thing that we try to do can start, you know, working against us as far as moving ECRV forward as quickly as possible. I mean, we have the same frustrations, but I see with the issues that the Department of Revenue has, and they did not seem like they were willing to go along with the scanned copy of the CRV. That was not a positive option for them. So if that's not, I mean, I'm saying kind of pick and choose our battles, but I still say in Pope's, let's take that as an example, I still realistically think that they could be doing this by sometime probably later next year, as long as they're willing to double enter for the number. I mean, are we talking, you know, if you have 40 submitters, are they all wanting to do this all at this, you know, say it's that 40, are they going to have 80? I mean, how many do they have in a month that they would have to take in?
That's again what I talked about earlier. I just think, I'll buy you my statement here, if Pope's anywhere even before 2012. It's just what we watched. We love to, maybe not muddy the waters, but just have a parallel, we'll call it a parallel process, because it's not any different. It's not any different. If this committee went back and said, as long as you're getting the form, it's on your number form, it's taken care of, it's separate. And then we need to talk about another day, but thank you for bringing me up.
Deck down, let me suggest this. If the path we're talking about traveling down is not received well by the Department of Revenue, I would be willing to push your idea even to the hilt if that were to become necessary, But I think we have a way of getting Lac La Parle, Clay County, Polk County, any of the western small counties, if they want to electronically record, into the CRV world much faster by this approach than by doing the scanned approach, which I think has some side benefits for Ryan's group and for assessors around the state in those counties to at least have their feet wet with this sort of electronic CRV to begin with so that they know what it's going to take. And I see that almost a better approach internally from counties' point of view than all of a sudden opening it up to everybody the way we were originally talking about, or even pursuing the alternative track. Because for the state to say, hey, we're not going to cooperate with those counties that want to do electronic recording, with submitters who are prepared to do it, and after they've been successful in Dakota County, why wouldn't they allow other counties that are willing to say, we're willing to step up to the plate for those documents that want to be electronically recorded, to take them into the auditor's office, to take them into the assessor's office, and move forward in that direction, which is then not having to retool in another year or two when revenue finally gets to each one of the counties as they roll it out to everybody for all documents. That's just the focus. But if revenue tells us no, they're unwilling to promote what we're talking about, then I think we need to go back to the drawing board and come up with another item, and maybe we push a little harder. And we do that, you know, before we'll know this as we're in the legislative session. But that's where I see, from a strategy standpoint, it makes more sense to get the support from within internally all of our county users, and to get what you're talking about, which is to get the counties that want to electronically record the submitters to be able to do it more quickly the way we're going to be able to do it henceforward permanently.
It's a partial workaround that says the ECRB is finally available. And it follows the very same path as the written document right now. That's the proposal.
Yep.
And the time issue is we can do the paper process electronically tomorrow versus we're still talking ECRB for Hope into the end of next year. We're talking a whole year where what we can do tomorrow. So, you know, it's not like we're replacing it. We're just saying, hey, for the next year, 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, we could do it tomorrow. It's there. So, but I think we're just looking for some validation that if a county is willing to do that, what does the committee say? You know, go for it. You're on your own. The committee can still, you know, push the ECRB, but they're not going to prevent the county recorder from wanting to try it.
You know, I would say that's not up for us to say yes or no, to tell you the truth. That would be an assessor. That would be the assessor auditor and the state. That's their issue to come to. I mean, for us, the standards are there. Somebody could do it that way, and if the auditor assessor could have that agreement with the state that they could take that copy, then that's not really our call. It'd be outside of what we're driving towards, but then that's no longer, you know, something we'd say yes, would allow or not allow.
But you better have the blessing of the department.
Right. I'm saying it's not our call.
But the committee does have the respect of all the counties out there, so
they can't make that determination. That's Department of Revenue.
Right.
That has to say whether or not they'll take that.
It's the one document that's not ours.
Yeah.
That and the well disclosure. I mean, those two are not ours, and we can't, you know, dictate that. We can apply a lot of pressure, and that's what we've been doing, and we'll continue to do. But to answer your question directly, no, I can't tell you that I could authorize that with this commission to your question that you asked. Now, what would be the consequences if someone decided to go ahead and do it? I don't know what the consequences would be. My guess is revenue would jump all over the county that submitted it and jump all over the auditor or jump all over the assessor and say, where's the original? This isn't right. This isn't... Da, 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 da. That's what I assume they have done in the past if somebody tried to do those sort of things. But Ryan, you and Teresa maybe know more about that than I ever would. You haven't experienced it yet, probably, so... I know we've had a couple of occasions in my county where submitters have, believe it or not, created an electronic CRV that they could somehow use something other than a typewriter on. and they have the Social Security number down at the bottom, you know, and revenue jumped all over us for having taken that type of document in. And that has been an issue in my county. I mean, you know, is it a petty, stupid, picky thing? Yes, but that's what's happened. So how would they enforce it? I don't know. They'll see them eventually.
Sure.
Would they take action? I don't know.
I believe the letter of the statute does require the State Department of Revenue form.
Approval on their form.
On their form.
Yep.
Maybe it would be quicker to sponsor initiative in the legislative session to change the letter of the law.
Not quite.
I don't know.
It's not necessarily the form so much. If Joel Beckman and I had that argument, is it was that it come in the color. And so I don't think, and I know Martin County, again, back to my other comment, has sent in photocopies of the CRV, and they have accepted them.
But, I mean, you've made it very clear that it isn't necessary for county recording. You could take a full package without.
But just know that there may be ramifications from the Department of Revenue if you choose to go there. And what those ramifications are, nobody knows.
They'll still need their information. Absolutely.
Nobody knows. And, you know, are we undermining the progress we're making here with our relationship with them, too? I mean, there's a lot of things to think about.
Absolutely. But we can't not ask the question because of
exactly.
That. But it's on their form. It's typed out and filled out on their form, and then it's scanned in, and then it would just be, in essence, a photocopy that you'd be printing out.
But they said that's not acceptable. So, now.
I don't think, though, that they have a mental map that it's possible and that it's available today.
Great. I don't think this room has a lot of differences of opinion on most items. So I think let's just keep going down the path that we're following forward on and just see where we're at here in the next couple months.
Okay. Several years ago, and I mean this several years ago, counties paid money to be on the list for being like number one, number two, number three to get the ECRV. And
yes.
They did it by percentage. So what you paid was quite a bit. So you're top of the list. And what Martin County paid was, you know, we were probably, I think, eighth or ninth or seventh or something right around in that area. And I've talked to the county about it. Granted, we didn't pay very much money into it, but we did pay money to be on the list. So if Pope goes before Martin, who do I complain to?
Well, and Submitter's paid, correct?
Yes.
Submitter's paid as well. And again, I know that I'm the vendor here today, but I'm representing the voices of our submitters that are in Minnesota and across the country that want to record documents in Minnesota. And that's why we're here.
Well, let me ask commission members, do you want to take on revenue and get into this fight?
Is it a fight, though? I mean, that I would love to posture it to say, we respect everything that you're doing. We respect the CRV process. We're going to respect all the time frames of what you're doing and the rollouts. Okay, great point, by way of what it sounds on. And until the Department of Revenue, you can take on and turn on that county. Would you accept images or photocopies of your form accompanying the document? It would be a yes or no question. I don't think there's a fight there. But I do really feel strongly about working with the number of reporters and submitters across the state, submitters as well, to want to make sure it's done right. And this committee has to say yes or no.
Anybody else want to weigh in?
Well, is there any point in asking if they'd be willing to watch a demo of what Down's talking about? I mean, do they know Like, does Jason Parker know what we're talking about here?
Yes.
I think I was at the meeting where this was discussed, and when it was explained to Jason and Gordon, and this was news to me because it doesn't matter how we get it. To be honest, the assessors don't care if it's photocopied or the original. It was the idea that I understood was an e-recorded document would be submitted with a scan of the receipt of the ECRV in it, so that the ECRV would be out there kind of orphaned a bit, if I could maybe use that word, without the rest of the information that is populated on the paper. So from an assessor's perspective, I didn't understand, from an attendee that day, I didn't understand that what you explained as a suggested solution. And I don't know, I can't speak for Jason or Gordon if they understood that as a possibility. I understood that it was going to be submitted on ECRV and then submitted in an electronic document, and that county's not ready for an ECRV.
Why don't we document the proposal and get it to them in writing and ask them to respond to this committee in writing? I mean, I think it's gotten a little bit fogged as to how, as the alternatives or as the way it's, you know, proposed,
right,
and presented to them. Maybe if we just document it, you know, and then either present it to them, you know, face to face, or send it to them and ask them to respond.
Thanks, Eileen, for the demo. In 5 minutes, we could show it. We're happy to document it as well, and we've got testimonials from Wisconsin to Colorado to New Mexico, numerous other states that use what's called a helper document. It's not recorded in the county, it's a helper document that's loaded in, and it can, at the data technology data set, it's there today, we can come around today. And we can even separate out the one form that has the socials on it and secure that. So, again, it could be done today, and then this ECRV, they can still continue with their efforts until, as all of our goals are, to get eventually 100% on it. Because then you do, you're not going to have to type back in.
Dylan, is there a place on your website where they could go to see this?
There's not, because it's a proprietary screenshots, but we'd be happy to show it at any time in the demo.
Well, the other point is that Simplifile doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the actual printout of the county. For instance, in Dakota County, they use Fiddler or Bill's company, TriMint, and they would receive it and print it out. Simplifile is not even part of the county side system.
We just have the technology, have the submitters to use it today.
That's why I think, really, let's just write it out to them, explain it to them, black and white, plain English. And so there's no question about our proposal, alternative, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Teresa?
One question to the recorders in the room. Mike, when a document comes through with a social security number in this file, is there any downfall or risk in having that social security number on that document if it is kept apart from the deed? And my other part of the question would be, if in the suggestion, would you scan three versions, just like in triplicate now? That way there's no risk in printing out the wrong one and keeping that in a file and having it mixed up, having that social security number on all three copies, where it would only be on the one copy that is sent to the state. And then the county would only have its two internal copies, one for the assessor, one for the auditor, that is absent the social security number. Is there an issue with having a social security number in a scanned document?
I'm not really a big fan of that coming into the county, but you could say we're getting them now in the paper world. And what's the difference between electronic and paper? And maybe it's just my comfort level, but I would prefer not to get it, in all honesty. But I don't think there's anything, there's nothing illegal about it or anything like that, but it's just what risk that you want run, and that's why I've always been excited about the ECRV, because it gets us out of ever getting the Social Security number and ever getting it mixed up, and the auditor doesn't have to worry about it, assessors don't have to worry about it, although I have run into some assessors who are now upset because the Social Security number isn't going to be available in my county. There are city assessors that apparently thought that was their God-given right to have that information and to know that, and now all of a sudden they're finding out it's not going to be there in the future. And They've got some concerns about that, which I've sort of laughed about. But it's an exact reason why it shouldn't be on there in the first place when we get it.
The document, though, is deleted, correct? Once it's in printed format, it's deleted. So hopefully it would be deleted from your system, even though kind of we're doing a side here about metadata, and that if there was a requirement to produce metadata, then that would probably show up. But I don't think that would probably be a public thing either. So I don't know if that would be the concern. I mean, so much. I understand, you know, what you're saying. I don't want to see Social Security numbers in my system either. But if you're deleting it out, you know, that's just doing good, you know, just your daily work. You're just your business part of the process.
And because the ESC technology code.
Well, let me ask, you know, are you comfortable if we have, say, Dallin write up the draft of what the proposal would be? And we submit that to the state, and then also with an offer coming from Simplifile to give them a demo of how that type of process can work, and it is working in other places around the country. People comfortable with that approach?
And again, it's not. We're not saying Simplifile only. We're not saying use Simplifile. This is for the users that already have our product. The technology is available today.
Well, it would be for the not just Simplifile, but for any
that's
submitter.
Right, that's what I wanted to
okay,
about.
Yeah, right.
That's correct.
Right.
Not about Simplifile.
And that's why I would prefer to have it come from the commission to the Department of Revenue, not coming from you, right. Because I think it's more, it will carry more weight. But I guess what I'm going to ask, if you would go ahead and draft up that.
Yep, I'm happy to. And I'll get Paul's permission to maybe do some screenshots, so that they can see it's so synergistic with what the submitters are already doing right now.
Yep.
It would be the very same process. They would, and again, they complete the CRV form on the numbered forms from the Department of Revenue, and then they can scan those in. Whether you do those in two batches, or whether you do them in three separate batches for the three separate pages, it would accompany the deed to the recorder's office, the recorder can inspect it, and print it out, and just like the paper copies that are stripped right now are taken apart, and then passed out to the various departments. The workflow would be the very, very same as what happens with the hard copy document. And this would be strictly a parallel or a workaround, whatever you want to say, or a stopgap until the e-CRV is finally up and running and optimized. Do you want to send the next meeting?
I'm working every day except Thursday and Friday.
I'll get it to you quickly. I'd also, if you would like, I don't want to take committee meeting time, but we could set up a demo in which anyone that's here or on the committee could join for 15 minutes, and we could show how to help the document functionality is on today. And again, we know it's available to our competitors as well, but if you know, we're representing those that are asking today and asking about it.
Right.
Great, I'll do both.
Are we finished with this topic?
Never.
We're not, no. That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. To be continued. We can't even say epilogue, can we? Okay. Let's go back to the agenda. County Recorder. 4B, schema discussion update. I've had contact from Pam. Pam had met with Chris and Larry and had done some comparison of identifying the other attributes that would be necessary to write up for a schema for, if I can get this right, the extensions in Minnesota of the PREA 2.4.1 standard that would be written up, and that hasn't been posted and shared with anybody. So what I told the two of them, we will put it out on our website when Pam gets it to Diane. We'll make it available to all of you so that you can comment on those issues. And then Dean said that once that comment had come in, that he would do a schema write-up and then also share it with people to take a look at and comment on at that point. So that's kind of where it's at. I'm sorry it didn't get completed as fast as we had talked about last month, But that's kind of what we saw as the next steps. And I talked to both Dean and Pam here this week on it and had some cross-communication between the two of them, and that's kind of where they were at. And I said, rather than take up any of their time here, let's get it out in the technology people's hands, Bill, your folks, the Fiddler folks, Simplifile, if NGO's interested, whoever the technical people are, that they can comment on that. And then Dean said that he would offer his time to write the schema following the comments, and then let people take a look at that to prove it from a technical side that you all can deal with, and then we can maybe bring it back to the commission here for final action.
Mike?
Yes?
This is Pam.
Oh, you're with us, Pam. Did I say that properly, Pam?
Yes, you did. I just want to add, it's my fault it never got done. Chris and Larry met with me, and I got all the information. I just kind of dragged my feet on fixing the spreadsheet, so I apologize. I'll get it to Diane next week, and it can be posted up on the website for everyone to see.
Pam, you don't need to apologize. You do wonderful work. We know that you do have to do real work for a living to pay the bills, so we just appreciate your contribution. So thank you much.
If Jeff would just give me a raise, I wouldn't have to work.
Always so funny.
You said he'd do it for love, not for money.
The dance aligns at the mall.
You're getting pretty good at public negotiation there, man.
If Jeff can do it over the phone, so can I.
He must be a good teacher. Okay. Thank you again very much.
Yeah, and like I said, next week I'll get it to Diane.
Good. Good. Item number five, process for vendor validation of Model 3. When we last left this at the ranch, Pam was going to do a little checking to get some rough ideas about what this sort of activity might cost. I think when we talked about this last month, we did talk that, A, the commission does not have any money to be able to do a validation of a indexing system that a county may use, that we need to be validated if you wish to accept Model 3 electronic recording. You don't have to do that for Model 2, but for a Model 3, you do. And we basically discussed that we would, you know, get a rough idea of what the cost might be to do that, and then we could take up the issue of, okay, who's going to pay for that? Probably either the indexing company, the vendor that's selling the software package to a county in conjunction with and or the county that wishes to get a package validated for that type of use. And so when we've got more of that information, we'll bring it back here so that the commission can at least know what the cost might be and then perhaps take some formal action on that. But that's kind of the update on the validation effort for activity. And Pam, have I got that down right?
Yeah, I am talking with a friend of mine. He does have his own LLC in the state of Minnesota, so he's registered as an independent contractor in the state of Minnesota. So I am talking with him. The big question is who's going to pay for it.
Right.
And I think, this is Janine, I think what we need to know is what the cost is and how we can make that available. Is that in maybe something that's negotiable with counties and their vendors? And we just need to get them some information that allows them to move forward. You know, by not having a cost associated with that and a process, or the process with the cost associated to it, it is then stopping counties from moving ahead with maybe a level 3. And all of us know on the county side that the Model 3 is so much better. No, it moves through our process easier than a tool. So we would like to see more companies working in Model 3, and I'm very, very glad and positive that we have some more now in Model 2. I just would like to make sure that they are, it's also available for them to function under a Model 3.
Yes.
Do you know how many vendors are waiting to be certified?
At least one.
There's one that I know of for sure.
Maybe I think we've had a couple other visitors to meetings before that are waiting, but I can't remember what their names are now, and they've just waited so long that they quit coming back.
There was more than one, Pam. I know that.
I could talk to my friend, and we could figure out a price that it would be for developing the test cases, but then a separate price for actually executing the certification.
Correct. But the temp pages, shouldn't they have already been developed when we did the first go-around?
I don't know if anybody knows where they are.
Well, shame on us. No, I mean, I would hate to see us have to redo that work. So it must be somewhere. When we had a project manager who had supposedly should have kept those in a file somewhere so that we don't have to repeat that process. And so we either have to look a little bit further for them or go back in some of the minutes, contact the companies that, I mean, we paid for it once, correct? I mean, am I not...
No, you're
understanding
right.
It right? We paid for those.
I know there was a search made to try and find those document templates, and we weren't able to find them, Diane, if I remember right. Did we follow up with the Secretary of State's office and Benita or anybody? Benita's about the only one left, Benita and Bird, I guess.
What we have is what they gave us.
I think the problem got to be that those probably were never put electronically online on any minutes or anything that was out on the web, because those were templates. And
who did that work?
Who was the vendor that we had that...
Was that Ben Nevis?
No. Was it? No. Pam, do you remember their name? It was the young lady that worked for that outfit that kind of took over after you guys stepped aside at Ben Nevis?
Beth or Aaron?
Aaron. Beth was the project manager.
Right. And Aaron
was the lady that kind of was involved in doing the submission test scripts.
Bill, what's your last name?
Hultgren. But I don't think that she was the...
The people who might have it are the vendors who were certified, because they got emailed all those test cases.
Yeah, that's what I was...
They hurry even have that stuff stashed away somewhere.
I certainly can look, but I don't...
I think we need to check, too, with the vendors who have been...
We probably spend more time looking than just creating a couple of records.
And Dean Pass, whoever was... I think Joel... One of the Joels in his company probably have them.
I mean, I just think it's wrong that we have to... You think, Bill, though, it's easier to just redevelop them?
I don't know. If they're easy to find, fine. If they're not, we're going to spend a lot of time looking. But I don't think we're talking about a big work effort here, do you, Pam? To create some pluses
and
minuses?
No, it's, you know, it'd be nice to start with something just to see what they were testing for before.
Yeah.
I'd like to expand the testing that was done, but I think there were 50 test cases before.
I did
hear 25. I can't remember which.
Yeah, I think it was less than 50.
40 rang a bell with me.
I can look through our stuff, but I'm not sure we were ever given the records themselves, because that kind of been Fox in the Hen House.
Well, you were given the submissions to your
they
system.
Were a system. They ran.
They ran them through to
see if they, you know, if they some pass, some fail. That it's been a few years ago.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I'm not sure that...
June 30th, I remember the date well. That's when we got shut down.
It just seems to me they need to be somewhere in some kind of...
Well, let's go back and ask the vendors, because it was WCI, TriMin, and Fiddler were the three that were certified, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And then Hennepin was certified with its own system.
Yeah.
And you're right, Pam, Ray Hurdy would be the one, and boy, I'll tell you, Ray's on his third job since that.
He's still at Hennepin, isn't he?
He's still at Hennepin.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see if he's still got it.
Yeah.
I may be able to get hold of Aaron.
I just think that before we can that we owe it to vendors, and we don't know how many out there might want to do business in the state of Minnesota. They're just not doing it because they don't have that validation, or they think they have to have that validation even for a model.
Well, and I think we want to make certain that any county's vendor has the ability to get certified to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think is important. Yep.
So a dollar amount would be great.
Okay. Item 7 and number 8. We've got the year-end report. We're not required to submit a report to the legislature, but I think we discussed when we were created that we thought for a lot of reasons that we should. And I think maybe this year we definitely ought to, because I think we've got something to at least talk about of a positive nature. Teresa, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your coming. And good luck.
Thank you.
I don't think it needs to be a very long report, but I think we ought to at least give a little bit of the history of what's transpired here this past year and the adoption of these Model 2 standards, and probably highlight what the potential benefit will be for the state. And I think we need to tactfully address our favorite topic that we spent quite a bit of our meeting discussing here, and the positive nature of getting that rolled out throughout the state and the impact that it will have on the real estate community, both in the private sector and those that deal with real estate in the public arena, and that all due attention should be given to expediting that ASAP so that it does get rolled out statewide. And I think we can certainly include that in the overall report.
And although, I think that I'd be approached very positively, there needs to be some comment about the concern there is that it might not be very timely, that it needs to be done more quickly than what's scheduled.
That might even be doing DOR a big favor if they can, get some more funding for their project.
And the impact that it will have on the real estate field, it might be a very good way to put something in there that drives it a little bit from that end.
Other topics that people would like to see covered in that type of a year-end synopsis? I just had four listed here. Kind of a little bit about the history of our transition to becoming a permanent commission, the adoption of the standards that we were able to finally adopt and prove for Model 2 here this summer, and then I thought we ought to talk about the ancillary documents, the two of them, the well disclosure and the ECRB. I think we need to talk a little bit about the submitter side. That kind of gets into the history of the submitter and the recorder side here, but suppose we could embrace a number of other things too, with our auditor friends and our assessor friends and their involvement with all these, and you get it branched and so forth. I guess how much do we want to include in this, and how short and sweet do we want to make it?
But I think as well, just kind of the statuses of where Marin counties are recording and the growth and that type of thing.
I think that there might be a nice place to put with the cut. If you're going to discuss the county and the submitter, it might be a good place to talk about in there that the cutback that the counties are receiving, that this would be an excellent addition to get the CRV done so that more electronic recordings could take place, because we can have more real estate.
It would be a benefit for the entire state.
Right.
As we have seen a dwindling of revenue coming in on the government side, this would be an improved productivity venture.
As counties have to work with less, this would help us out a lot. Not only the recording end, but the auditor assessors end, and all that.
Well, all the way from our submitter all the way to the Department of Revenue and all the county steps in between.
Right. And so it might be a good place to hit a second time with the importance of those CRV and I don't think, I'm sorry, I'm not very good at the political games. Yes, I am. But I don't think it would hurt one bit to tell what a great job the Department of Health did in getting theirs done.
Statewide.
2 years. In less than 2 years. And that we can't seem to understand why the CRV can't happen. And I mean, I just don't understand. And so, well, I do understand why it's taking so long, but...
It goes to prove that when you invest money in a government agency, you don't get a return. When we didn't invest money in the Department of Health, we got a return.
Well, and I don't think it would hurt to let the legislature remind the legislature that we have invested in it. The amount of money we have as counties and as private industry that has invested in this. I mean, again, when I talked to Marty Siebert, that's the first thing he said is, you mean you've done what? And you had no return?
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, I think other legislators would have that same feeling, is that when you're dealing, it's one thing to be dealing with public money, it's another one to be dealing with private money.
Yep. Okay for you, or is that...
So, I think we could use it to our benefit to maybe get some pressure put on, or at least to embarrass. No, did I say embarrass them? And send them a copy.
Well, you provide a positive incentive for those that did what we were most appreciative of doing, and ensure that others know that they got the positive recognition. And
so I don't know who's
going to... that the others will...
Who's going to write this report?
Well, we're going to... I'm going to talk with our staff here.
I think that it's probably going to need to come from the commission itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to help facilitate it, but I think some of the nuances are best described by the commission members.
Yep.
I was going to say the other thing we would be helpful is and maybe we just start making some calls, because I see Chris gave us this. But that's still 2008, right?
Yeah, she said it was 2008. It's final. There was some issues about putting it on MACO's website.
Okay.
That she just told me right now when she was leaving. But it is 2008, so you could put it on.
Work is going on collecting the 09 stuff.
Okay.
and
she said that was about ready. She just had a few.
She's got a few counties that haven't submitted their current stuff yet.
Okay.
And she's trying to get those done. So yes, and it's intended to go on the MAPA website. We talked before the meeting about some of the issues that we're having with another vendor on a different topic, and hopefully that will get taken care of soon so that we can get some of that data out there as well.
Because then, what, you know, I'm thinking from the submitter side, I can start writing up the increase and that type of thing, but the only place to find it is truly from the recorder's office.
Yep.
Is to see how many submitters we have, how many people they're working with, how much they're getting in, if there's growth.
Yep.
Definitely growth.
Definitely growth.
Well, there's growth in Lyon County, and I mean, I'm one of the smaller ones, mm-hmm. so, you know, I can't imagine that it's not growth than the others.
Yeah. I mean, it might be relative growth, right? More submitters, maybe less documents, less going through, but.
I think what you need to do is do that.
Percentage.
Joel Beckman, Toppy, percentage was a great perspective because he was going, well, I'm doing X number of documents, that's 8%. And I'm going, I'm doing 11 documents. Oh, that's 8%. I mean, you know, so I mean, perspective-wise.
Too. So now we're not just getting satisfaction. So there's some discrepancy there because now you've got a different doc type, which does add to the total. So that's going to throw off the totals because
but that's okay. I mean, that just showed more growth.
Well,
because of the standards.
It has to make the statement, though. If it shows more growth, what's the reason for the show of growth? Mm-hmm. It's allowing more doc types.
Right.
And that we can look at that, probably doubling if deeds get to go. I mean,
we should equate it to the number of gallons of gas we save. Transmission.
Well, it's going to help the economic of the world.
Yeah. Our carbon footprint is increased.
Yeah, figure it out.
Well, let me go ahead and meet with Diane and Sally, and we'll talk about perhaps a little outline of how to organize a report, and then we'll talk to some of you about helping contribute parts of the draft on the information that goes in the report. So we can schedule some time next week. Your schedules are such to do that.
And we can do it by the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
Then
let me just ask. Diane was pointing out to me that our board schedule only ran through the end of the calendar year of 2009. And so I thought we ought to talk about future board meetings. Do we need to continue to meet monthly? What's the commission's thoughts on that? Whatever we meet is the time schedule that we've been meeting on a Thursday afternoon. The third Thursday of the month is what we've been meeting. Is that good? Is that not good? And then location, we kind of talked about, I thought was the third topic. We tried this month to meet at a different location to try and provide a telephone hookup for people to be able to call in. Over in the Secretary of State Pension Office, we can only have one call in.
Well, we actually could do this setup. We kind of noodled about it, Sally and I, and we have within our facilities, within the state office building, we have voice over internet provider. And we have the ability to have, it's called a bridge, a meet-me bridge. It's some more programming, this part of our service that we have with our VoIP. So we established that conference call back at our office location.
So everyone can hear you.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's in my office with a phone, on speakerphone. So when we get back, I'll just connect it there. So we can do that any place. It's no cost for as long as we're calling out to a local line, a 651 line. So there's no increment of cost for this building. We don't have a count in this building. We don't have a count in MSRS building either. So, and the cost would be to the folks who call in, perhaps, if they have to
you know, it's a 651 telephone number, so they might have to incur long-distance phone call costs themselves. And I think it's in the 28, maybe 30 people can participate. And the only condition is there's other users within the joint offices with the legislature that have the bridge, access to the bridge, so I just have to reserve the time period. So it's not a big issue.
Well, my concern was that I thought with winter approaching, it would be nice, depending on weather, that we'd have the ability for people to be able to call in and access, or if they had other conflicts where they couldn't come to a meeting, that we'd have that type of flexibility for people, not only for commission members, but also for some of our guests that are in the same situation. So we don't make you guys continually have to fly back here every month for this sort of thing. Not that we don't like you. We want you here, believe me. But we also thought, you know, it would be important for us to try and, you know, make that kind of flexibility available, too. And Brian, I know we've wanted to make sure that we keep you in the loop here, and you've had some issues with something about elections this past year that was somewhat controversial. And
I don't even remember what that was about.
But we want to keep everybody, you know, in the loop, and those that couldn't come on a particular meeting could at least call in if they wanted to, if they chose to do so. So that's been why we wanted to at least explore that. So
yeah, so I'm just saying that we could do that.
You can use it either
place, or even in our state office building, we could use it too. So.
Okay, so you could use that almost anywhere then?
Within a 651 area code. I mean, within a local. Okay. I mean, it has to be a local within the metro.
So we could do it here. We could do it back over in the Secretary of State pension building where we were before.
Yeah. And the folks here seem to be really accommodating. My impression is that, you know, they have lots of room, lots of facilities, parking's easy. I don't know, it seems like this is a nice facility.
People have any preference for location, date, time, and so forth?
Location makes no difference to me. I mean, here is fine, or
there's free parking, and I think that's, and it's not over in the direct Capitol complex.
Right.
So either one is fine as far as I'm concerned. I think for guests, it's as easy here as it is down the road. Let me just ask, in terms of meeting date time, do you all think we need to continue to meet on a monthly basis, at least schedule it for that point? At this point, if we need to cancel one, or we can cancel one, we can, but go ahead and put it on the calendar.
Well, I was kind of thinking, actually, with the things we've got going now and into the first part of this next year, if we do monthly, but then I see after the first quarter, we could probably meet quarterly, couldn't we? I mean,
at least every other month, I think, after the first quarter. I think we have some things we need to take care of.
I think the issues relative to the questions about the ECRB, the schema, final approval, and the, what was the third one? The validation. Those are the three things that I think, once we're past that hurdle, I suppose the next thing will be what? What's PREA's new standard? 3.1, 3.0, whatever it is, number
I? Maybe late spring, summer maybe.
Summer. And then maybe we'll have more MISMO reports here in the future when MISMO gets their standard ready for mortgage documents.
That would be three, the same. MISMO and creative version three.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I do think that we need to have set up standard meeting times with the idea that I do hope that there are other issues brought to this commission. I mean, I think there's, as electronic recording grows, that we do need to have a place to facilitate some of the things that are issues out there that vendors run into, or that counties run into, or submitters run into. Because I don't think that it's particularly our job to go out there, and I mean, now that the standards are set, they will need to be revised as things change. But I think it's other people's responsibility to bring those issues to us sometimes. I mean, that it's a vendor, if something's in the vendor's need to have looked at, it's their responsibility to bring it to that to the commission. So they should have a venue to do that at and know that we're going to meet every other month or once quarterly or something, so that they can bring those, or if the recorders, the auditor treasurers, if there's an issue that they see is not working for them, and I know we've talked that the bathrooms are the bathrooms in each county, and each county needs to deal with it, but there may be some issues that the auditor treasurers find that they want a standard for to push the process through in a much better issue. I mean, standing on the outside, I can see some things I would, as an auditor treasurer, would like to have required, you know, as standards as they come in. But that's not, you know, it's not for us to go out there and find them and create them in there. I think it's for those associations to do the work, combine them, and bring them to us to ask us to ratify or to pull into place something new, you know, that they want to take place. So, you know, I do think it's important that we don't just call the meetings as needed, that we have a standing time that people know that they can address their issues.
Well, why don't we go ahead and at least set the third Thursday of the month, and we'll know at least through the first quarter for certain we'll be having meetings next year. And let's make certain that about March we revisit this in terms of when do we need to continue to have those meetings. I don't have any problem if we don't have something that's pressing or urgent in, you know, canceling a meeting. I do tend to agree with Janine's view, is that, you know, I do want to be available if there are things that sometimes maybe our submitters or vendors maybe want to enlighten us on or push us in a direction to take certain types of action that maybe we might not otherwise be thinking of taking. I think that's very appropriate and very healthy, and I think it's very good. I welcome that, and I don't want to lose the opportunity to be able to listen and hear that sort of stuff. So having those kind of meetings at least scheduled, I think does provide for that. But at the same time, we might be able to not have to meet on a monthly basis here as we get some things finalized here in the coming year. That's what my thinking would be. Any other comments from the audience on that?
Okay, thank you for that comment. Because we certainly don't want to be seen as...
Well, I don't think any of us see you as a hindrance on what we're trying to do here, believe me. You're the biggest cheerleaders we've got here, and I'm very appreciative of that. So if I've in any way given you a different opinion, believe me, that's not it.
Well, and I think having a set schedule, even if it is quarterly or something like that, it is appropriate, because it's not one of us that's going to be able to call the meeting and to try to begin to orchestrate something
right
like that. It would take an enormous amount of time, and probably not
to get everybody together.
Exactly. Yeah. So if there's a known venue and time schedule, those issues can be addressed in that time.
If people are comfortable with this location and we can get it, I would say that we continue to at least go ahead with this as a location for the next several meetings.
I was going to say it's kind of a petty thing, but my cell phone works in this building. It's kind of nice.
That was the other thing I wasn't going to mention, but only Sprint works in the other one, so.
Yeah.
The windows here.
Yeah, there's a little wireless access
for your computer here. It's not bad at all.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some benefits here, aren't there? Yes. And we do have Minnesota Insurance Trust lawyers available in case there's any liability issues here. Now that they're not representing the city of Greenfield anymore, we know that they can deal with other issues. Anything else to come before the commission then? We'll move ahead and just go ahead and schedule the third Thursday throughout calendar year 2010, at least for now. And then we'll revisit it here in March and see whether we need to continue meeting monthly.
At least by June.
Right. We may have to have a special meeting here at some point in the middle of next year. We may have to have a roast meeting here, something of that nature, yes. Anyway, anything else to come for the commission? If not, we entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you all very much.